unfasten your chin strap and get ready for the snuff. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome into the Eric Ainge Show on the Sports Animal. It's me. Hi, me, Eric. I'm Eric from the Eric Ainge Show, and I'll be here till noon with, not Brian Rice today, Joel Silverberg sitting in for Brian. Brian's out doing softball things, calling games and whatnot. He'll be back on Monday. Joel Silverberg fills in for one Brian Rice. Joel, how are we this morning?
Good. It's Friday.
So what's going on? Someone's yelling at Phil over there. Phil's getting yelled at.
Yeah, Landon's yelling at Phil. They're, you know, something about the word onomatopoeia.
Those crazy news talk guys.
Probably, man, trying to figure out how to spell the word.
What's crazier, bunch of lads? News talk or sports talk?
News talk.
I think it's news talk. I think it's significant. I think we're a lot more normal than
you
news talk.
That Chris Marion guy in the mix.
A lot of weird over there on news talk.
Now, I would trust them more than I would trust us, because there's some.
I didn't say anything about that. They got
their heads on straight over there.
Those crazy news talk lads. I've been watching a show called Outlander. Have you ever heard of it?
Nope.
Trying to work on the accent.
Why? Why?
Because I talk like that at home almost exclusively now to my wife.
Is that helpful to her, or does she prefer that you
not really
do
it's,
that?
It's one of those things where it's like, I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do anyway, and she's just kind of accepted that. So she never responds back speaking like she's from Scotland, but I do.
So it's Scottish island. Not Irish.
It's
okay,
my island.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of similarities in Scottish and Irish.
My wife's been to Ireland. She hasn't been to Scotland.
I want to go to both. I'd love to do that.
Oh, yeah. That's very fun. Beautiful.
I bet she loved that.
Oh, she did. Yeah. Both times she got to go.
Well, we're without further ado. Oh, by the way, producer Ben's in there today.
Benjamin Hardy, our producer this morning here
What's
at the
up?
Budweiser
What's
Studios
up,
at Cumulus
Sweet
Broadcasting.
Beard? How
morning,
are you,
guys.
Sweet
How
beard?
You guys doing?
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Welcome everybody listening to producer Ben. Ben, tell me a little bit about yourself real quick. Do you like long walks on the beach? Full moons. What's your
walks on the beach.
Anything else? You like anything else? Or you just walk by yourself on a beach?
Just kind of by myself these days.
By yourself on a beach. Well, with that, Ben, let's take a look at the game plan.
No quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
So one of the things that we're going to do today that's going to be fun, sparked by Mayor-elect Tyler Ivins and Will West from the starting lineup, and really good job by those guys. They helped raise a bunch of money for, I don't even know the name of the nonprofit, but it's for reading, putting an emphasis on reading with our youth here in East Tennessee, and that's really important. So good for them. They're being annoying about it, but I would expect nothing less from a Tyler Ivins-led group.
I believe the way that Will put it yesterday, we want to understand the power of our position. We'll figure out the responsibilities later.
Yeah. So fully expect there to be a train wreck that follows it, but good for them. But you thought up the topic. If you were mayor of sports, period, what would you change? I feel like we have opinions a lot, and I feel like this one, there'll be some opinions in this.
And there's, you know, a lot of this is going to be like rules that we would change or things that we would alter. But like, if you could get nuts with it and just do something silly or creative, you know, what would you tinker with? So I don't want to limit it to like, oh, well, I would change the targeting rule or something like that. Or I would change the, you know, the fumbling out of bounds through the end zone becomes a touchback. Not just specific rules. What would you do to change the sport as a whole or even the structure of a league? Because also we don't just have, you know, two mayoral elects here on our staff for the day, but we also have a potential restructuring in the NFL with the NFL owners approving the new collective bargaining agreement. The NFL Players Association is up next. If they get a 2/3 vote ruling to approve it, then it goes to the next stage, which would be the entire player pool in the NFL, which they would just need a simple majority rule. But there's been talk about expanding the playoff field, expanding the regular season schedule. So what other things like that would you do?
It's important, the layout of what you just explained to everybody. Each team gets a player rep that is basically responsible. It's representing their team and their players to the NFL. So you get 32 guys that you need 2/3 of those 32 guys. Off the top of my head, I don't know what that is. What is that? 20?
Yeah, roughly 20.
20-ish? So you need that many guys to say, yeah, go ahead and look it up.
Yeah.
It's all right. That's Joel's OCD coming out live on the radio, everybody. It's not a big deal. The 20-ish, we'll call it.
People. Yeah, like 20 or 21 guys.
Okay. You have to get that many votes, and if you get that many votes saying yes, then it goes to every player, every roster player gets to vote, and then they need a simple majority of those. It should be easier than it seems to get it passed. So if it's not passed, then I'm going to be really concerned. Like, if they don't get it passed today or whenever it is that they're doing this vote, the majority vote, the 20, 21 guys they need to put it to the whole NFL teams, all the players, I'll be concerned that they're going to get it done anytime soon. They need, like, it needs to happen just like the owners voted and there were no hiccups. They just said yes. They've already talked it all through. You know what I mean? You're negotiating something that it's not like they all just walk to the table and they've never heard anything and you go, here's what we're doing. They've been a part of the conversation the whole time, putting it together, both sides.
Yeah, there's also some other stipulations, too, being discussed, other than just increasing the regular season schedule and the number of teams in the playoff field. J.J. Watt has already given his opinion on the CBA. He is probably not going to vote to approve it. A lot of players have been very outspoken in opposition of expanding the regular season schedule. I mean, there's some other things about it, too. Like regarding suspensions for testing positive for marijuana and things of that nature. So a number of things that the players will have a chance to decide on. If they don't get anything decided on soon, there is a meeting scheduled at the end of March with the NFL Players Association to discuss the collective bargaining agreement. I would think that a decision will be made before then, though. Also, Butch Jones has a new role at Alabama. It's still not an on-field coach role, however, which means Tennessee's still paying his buyout.
Is Butch really fulfilling his end of the bargain, of the agreement? Is he doing what he's supposed to be doing? Because he hasn't taken a real job. He's the special assistant to Nick Saban now. I'm sorry, but you know that Nick Saban can say whatever he wants. And listen, he's the greatest college football coach of all time. I've never said that out loud, actually, but I'm going to say it. He is the greatest football coach, college football coach, that we've ever seen. I don't know how anyone could argue it. He's changed more rules, and the game has evolved as he sees it needing to evolve. He's won more champ. Blob, I'm not going to argue for Nick Saban, but what I am going to say is I also think part of him, he loves the fact that the Tennessee head football coach is an analyst on his remember he first referred to him as an intern. He was an intern. Butch, like, when he got fired here, everyone that wanted him gone, which was most everybody, is like, oh, you know, intern Butch. And it was a funny joke, but, like, he's never really not been intern Butch. He's been a special assistant or this, that. Now he's the special assistant to the head coach.
Not the special assistant head coach, the special assistant to the head coach.
To the are the words that we're going to talk about today. Is Butch really fulfilling his end of the agreement? Is he really out there looking, trying to find a job? And maybe is he looking and it's not the right job for him, and the ones that he's put his name in for, he hasn't gotten It's not all just black and white. Is Butch really fulfilling his end of the bargain, though? We need to have the conversation.
Lady Vols dropped their fifth straight game last night after losing to Arkansas.
What's going on with that?
Are now 7-6 in SEC play, hitting
They're struggling.
Hitting the meat of their schedule. They have been kind of in between when it comes to...
Is Arkansas any good?
Oh, yeah, they're a ranked team.
Okay.
They're ranked 23 in the country. No, yeah, Tennessee, all of their losses have come against good teams. A lot of their wins have come against... weaker teams, and Tennessee has kind of just been doing just that. And I think the big question mark around the team now is, okay, can they step up and start beating the better teams in the SEC? We'll have our weekend preview in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll always wrap up every day by finding out what we learned. And as we already mentioned, NFL owners approving the new CBA. And we'll get Eric's thoughts on what he would do if he was the mayor of all of sports for the day. SEC Media Day schedule was announced. Speaking of Nick Saban, Jeremy Pruitt and Nick Saban will be making the rounds on the same day.
Does the special assistant to the head coach travel to SEC Media Days and follow him around and say, Lard Saban, what you need from me, sir?
You know, Butch is from Michigan, right? Like, he doesn't talk
What you need from me? I'm Butch. I'm the special assistant to the head coach.
Can you say?
Yeah, that's my Scottish accent. I'm horrible at it. My only British I can do is hello.
That wasn't even British.
You were trying to be. Was that a Mrs. Doubtfire reference? Was that a Mrs. Doubtfire reference?
More of a Monty Python.
Monty Python. Okay.
Can you say brick by brick in a Scottish accent?
Brick by brick.
That's actually pretty good. I got to applaud the Scottish accent. Like, I give you a lot of crap, but I think that's actually really well done.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. That's a game plan laid out for you by 42nd Street, 42SD.com. If you need help with your business, look no further than 42nd Street. They are your they're the special assistant to you, the business owner, with all things digital. They're your special assistant. That's who you call. They can get it done from getting Google reviews, Yelp, Bing. We talked about maps. Like, do you have all the maps, proper maps, claimed and done, set up properly for your business? So when people type in, you know, if I was needing a, you know, cell phone near me or food near me or whatever it is, car near me, any of the thing, whatever your business is, do you have all that set up? Those are things you don't always think about. You need to, and you need to let them show you what's important and what's going to continue to be important moving forward. 42SD.com, that is their website.
Filling in for Brian Rice, I'm Joel Silverberg with Eric Ainge. I don't know which accent we're going to get for the next 3 hours. Benjamin Hardy with us as well. We'll continue next on the Eric Ainge Show on FM 99.1, the Esports Animal.
The Eric Ainge Show. Nudging Brian Rice closer to insanity 3 hours at a time since 2017.
It's a Foo Friday here on the EA Show. We're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group. Foo Friday. Hey, Joel, speaking of the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, we've actually got a really special Foo Friday today because we've been giving away tickets for the show all this week. Today, we're going to have two giveaways, but we're going to do one right now. So caller number 5 to 656 wins. That's 656-9467. Caller number 5 is receiving a pair of tickets to see the Foo Fighters at Thompson Bowling Arena on April 20th. That's coming up in a little less than 2 months. So caller number 5, right now, 656 wins. You're taking home a pair of tickets. Ben Hardy is standing by.
And
be listening, because we're going to do this again later on the show.
Crazy.
We will do this one more time before 12 o'clock.
That's my favorite thing about doing the radio here. I did radio one time before I worked here, but it was on a radio signal that you couldn't really hear. So it's kind of like, you know, are you really doing radio? But anyway, it's not the point. Kaner, you shut your mouth when you're talking to me. This is awesome when you get to see this. I think it's really cool. It's just
our phone lines, they light up very quickly. Yesterday, the person that won the Foo Fighters tickets, when I told him that he was caller number 5, he screamed into my ear out of excitement.
He was like, yes!
I'm like, I'm deaf.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, people very excited.
On April 20th. We'll give another pair away here later in the show as well. All right. Pull up the story on Butch Jones. Kind of fill me in a little bit. On what's happening with Butch.
Butch Jones, no longer an analyst at Alabama.
Went from intern to analyst.
But he is still going to be in Tuscaloosa in 2020. former Tennessee head coach, is now listed as a special assistant to the head coach. AL.com was the first to report the story. So Jones will be entering his third season at Alabama. Obviously, he got fired from Tennessee just before the end of the 2017 season. So he was an offensive analyst for 2 years. And now Butch Jones moving up to being the special assistant to the head coach. Nick Saban had this to say. He's a great person and a great guy to have in your organization. I know Butch had job opportunities after last year, and he decided he wanted to stay here. It's obviously an advantage when you have continuity in your program with the people that you have in your organization at any level. So earlier this offseason, Butch Jones was reportedly in talks with Rutgers for their head coaching position. Rutgers obviously went in a different direction, and Butch withdrew his name from consideration for the Rutgers coaching job. I believe it was 2 years ago there was discussion about him possibly being in the works for the East Carolina coaching job. That's kind of more the direction that I would expect to see Butch go in. I just don't know if he can be a successful Power Five head coach.
Maryland, he was rumored around Maryland for a while too.
Yeah.
What would the job description be? Okay, first off, okay, Saban, what Saban said. Read Saban's quote on Butch one more time.
He's a great person and a great guy to have in your organization. I know Butch had job opportunities after last year, and he decided he wanted to stay here. It's obviously an advantage when you have continuity in your program with the people that you have in your organization at any level.
So I think one important thing to note right here is that Jimmy Sexton represents them both. Represents both Nick Saban and Butch Jones.
Was your agent
Unless
as well, wasn't
changed.
He?
He was, yeah. And he's an awesome person. Like, literally, he's a pioneer in the industry. And I could talk for an hour on Jimmy Sexton, what an amazing guy he is and all he's given to the game and all the game is given back to him. But I think that's important because I think Butch Jones knows that the next job that he gets will 100% determine how his coaching career goes. You know, if he's able to land a big time Division I football job, God forbid a Power Five football job, then that's because, I mean, he went from Group of Five, SEC unemployed. So for him to go Group of Five, SEC, he needs to at least go back to Group of Five at least. If not, you know, like a Colorado or, you know, Michigan State, you know, people joke, but like that wouldn't have been a terrible idea for them to look at maybe Butch. And Saban's referencing him being a good guy and being in the program and continuity and all that kind of stuff. Well, it's easy to do that when you're making blank piles of money from somebody else. It'd be super easy to do your job or do my job if you were getting compensated somewhere else and it didn't matter and you were just having fun, you know, talking into this ye can right here. The reason it sounds like I'm kind of wishy-washy and like I'm struggling with it a little bit is because I kind of am. Like, I do believe that Butch Jones was seeking job opportunities. I just don't think that they were the opportunities that he wanted. And unfortunately for Tennessee, he has the luxury of sitting around and being a special assistant to the head coach. He doesn't need the money.
That's just the nature of the buyout world right now in college football.
I mean, like, do you really think that, like, let's list some jobs here. What are some, because you know this kind of stuff. What are some Group of Five jobs that came available? Memphis.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, Memphis came available. Now you're really asking me to do some
rack your brain. I just, even though Memphis is one of them, we just saw Colorado was one of them. There's 10, 15 jobs a year in small college football where guys get hired and fired. And I don't think that he wants to do that. I think that you've seen his name in there for the most part, other than East Carolina. It's with, you know, bigger, big time schools. I mean, Rutgers, don't forget, Rutgers is a Big Ten school.
Yeah, and it's the expectations now at Rutgers are very different from the last time Greg Schiano was there. When they were a member of the Big East, it was a little bit more doable to win. I mean, if Schiano could get Rutgers to a bowl game at any point in his tenure, I would think that that would be a monster accomplishment, because I just don't think the expectations should realistically be there for the Scarlet Knights. So some non-Power 5 or smaller coaching jobs that came open during this past offseason. You had Old Dominion. They elected to hire Ricky Rain. Jeff Scott got hired at South Florida. Jeff Traylor was hired at the University of Texas, San Antonio. Marcus Arroyo was hired at UNLV. He was the offensive coordinator at Oregon recently. Steve Adazio, after getting fired by Boston College, was hired by Colorado State. Willie Taggart, after being fired from Florida State, went to Florida Atlantic. Sean Clark replaced Elijah Drinkwitz at Appalachian State. Jeff Hafley replaced Adazio at Boston College. You had mentioned Memphis hiring Ryan Silverfield. Fresno State, New Mexico, San Diego State, they promoted Brady Hoke from within after Rocky retired again. And then you have some other smaller Power 5 jobs, like Washington State having to replace Mike Leach.
I know this is a group of five, but wasn't Boston College...
Yeah.
Available?
Yeah, Steve Adazio was fired.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Hawaii actually hired Todd Graham. And then most recently you have Michigan State. But for all the non-Power 5 or the smaller Power 5 jobs, there were a lot. Most of them kind of coming on the west side of the country. But, I mean, you have USF, which is an American Athletic Conference school, which is essentially the new Big East, which is the conference where Butch Jones was right before he came to Tennessee and had some success there.
So the question is, this is the question. If you cut him off and say you're not fulfilling your end of the buyout clause, then you have to go to court to do so. Is it worth going to court with Butch Jones to cut him off? I don't know at this point how much money he's making, but the SEC, like, we can afford Butch's buyout. Does bringing all that negativity to your program, is it worth it? Just from a PR standpoint. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that, like, you look at it and peel the onion back and end up it looking like a stain on Tennessee. I don't think it would, but that's not how the world works in 2020. You see something, you see it 5 seconds scrolling through Facebook or Twitter, or, you know, you turn the radio on for a few minutes and you hear it, and then you make your mind up. I mean, that's just how people are now. So is it worth saying, sorry, Butch, but special assistant to the head coach does not qualify. You're not seeking employment comparable to, you know, before you got fired here. I don't know what the exact verbiage is, but is it worth it to fire him? I mean, is it worth it to cut him off and potentially him take you to court to get the buyout money? But we can do it on the other side. I don't know if it's worth it.
We'll answer that question on the other side. 656-9900. If you want to join us, *990, a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. 1-866-656-9900. Outside the local calling area is the toll-free number. With Eric Ainge, I'm Joel Silverberg filling in for Brian Rice. The Eric Ainge Show continues next on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Welcome back into the Eric Ainge Show on the Sports Animal. Joel Silverberg and myself, EA, will be here in the Budweiser Studios until noon, and then Sports 180 with Josh and Heather will take over. Joel, reset it for everybody. What were we talking about there, and what do we need to answer?
So Butch Jones is no longer an analyst at Alabama. He has become Nick Saban's special assistant to the head coach.
Literally, guys. I mean, his title is special assistant to the head coach.
So you were asking the question right before the break. Is it worth it for Tennessee to just cut Butch Jones off, stop paying his buyout, which would likely lead to a date in court between the two parties?
What do you think?
I don't think it's worth it, because I think you're already 2 years into the process. Jeremy Pruitt is having success within the football program, coming off a 6-game win streak and having a top 10 recruiting class. And despite all that, Tennessee is still continuing to push forward, and it appears that the program is progressing. And I'm not saying that it would necessarily affect Jeremy Pruitt if Tennessee wanted to pursue that and stop paying Butch Jones. I just don't know if it's worth it at this time, because I also don't know if Tennessee would necessarily win the argument, because you could make the case that Butch Jones isn't trying to pursue coaching roles, but he was in talks with Rutgers and withdrew his name because it was pretty clear that Rutgers was going to go with Greg Schiano. I don't know if the language necessarily states that a coach has to try to take the first and only head coaching job that comes in his direction. And I just feel like there's a lot of verbiage used in those sort of cases that I think would make it really difficult to show for sure one way or another whether Butch Jones is actually not trying to pursue other coaching opportunities. I feel like that would be very difficult to quantify.
So his buyout was $8.2 million, paid monthly. It works out into checks in the range of $200,000 a month, or around $2.4 million per year. Can you imagine getting a $200,000 check? Not like one time, every single month. And then remember that you're getting paid that money because you weren't good enough to keep your job. That is, like, so un-American, I can't handle it. The way college football contracts are and buyouts for college athletics, what that has turned into is crazy to me.
Oh, I said Charlie Weiss, like, man. I'd love to live Charlie Weiss's life.
It's like, but I mean, this is like Bernie Sanders isn't even okay with this. I mean, come on, like, you're so bad at your job, we're going to pay you extra money just to get out of the way. It's crazy to me. It makes me angry. So I guess the question is, you know, is it worth it to go to court? At this point in time, how many $200,000 checks have we already written him? When did he get fired?
I believe he got fired in November of 2017.
So call it all of 2018, all of 2019, and
then 2020.
Call it what's that? 27
months, roughly, depending on when he started getting paid.
Okay, so I'm sure it was pretty quick. 27 times $200,000. We've already paid him, call it between $5 and $6 million.
So you're more than halfway there.
Well, yeah, well over halfway there. So is it worth it? If, say, you paid him 5.4, is it worth it over whatever that is? Just a few million bucks, you know, $2.8 million, $2.6 million, whatever we're at in that $2 to $3 million range we still owe him. Is it worth it to go to court and have the process just like out there for everybody to look at? I don't think it's worth it from a PR standpoint. I think you just keep paying him. And by the way, I'm pretty sure, unless he's changed, Coach Fulmer still has the same agent that represents both Butch Jones and Nick Saban, Jimmy Sexton, who we originally talked about. You could surely pass a note along, and maybe it has, you know, maybe we don't know everything that Butch has done to try to find a job or the right job or anything like that. And maybe Jimmy Sexton does, and maybe Jimmy Sexton informs Philip Fulmer that, hey, Butch is trying. He's not, you know, people aren't. We need to get him the right job so his career can continue, and he's not getting those jobs right now.
Yeah, and I.
What do you want me to do? Because, and then you're, you know, that's your agent telling you that.
I'm not going to defend the job that Butch Jones did here. I thought he was a good coach. I did not think he was a great coach.
He changed too. I mean, like, how he was at first was not how he was when he left.
Yeah, and I think he underachieved at times, and that's always going to frustrate fans, but I think he was brought in to bring the program to a level that was just, that could show it could be somewhat sustainable again, because Derek Dooley wasn't doing that. So I think for Butch to be able to come in and get Tennessee just back to winning 8 games in the regular season again. Now, the bottom really fell out after that 2016 season with all the talent that Tennessee lost.
Oh, the South Carolina game.
Yeah. The South Carolina game in the 2016 season was horrendous. But it's not as if Butch Jones is a total failure as a head coach. I mean, the guy won a conference championship with Central Michigan in the MAC. And that's not any crowning achievement. The guy's not a Hall of Famer. But it's not like just any analyst from any school can go to the MAC and automatically win a championship. It's not that simple.
No, I was always impressed with the fact that Butch Jones was able to become a head coach at the University of Tennessee and he'd never been a coordinator. Like, I remember like saying it to him. I remember being like, how did you get the job if you've never even been a coordinator? If you're not like a guru on one side of the ball, like how do you become a head coach? And you just outwork, due to sheer effort and determination, he was able to get himself to the head coaching position at the University of Tennessee. That is a crazy statement to make. And I almost look at that like, well, it's negative because I would have wanted you to be I think if you'd been a coordinator or coached at this level somewhere else for a few years, you'd do better at your job. But it is kind of impressive that you got the job and you're probably not qualified.
Very unorthodox path.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. But again, it comes down to effort. He changed when he was here, but he's the special assistant to the head coach in Tuscaloosa. I think we're both agreeing on it, Joel. It's not worth cutting him off and going to court for a couple million bucks. If we had just started last month and we were staring down the barrel of, $8 million that we were going to have to pay him or something like that, then maybe I'd go, yeah, don't do that. But like, then we wouldn't know. He wouldn't have had time to get all these jobs. I think the fact that they all share an agent is why we won't ever see anything actually happen here.
I think the stage was just too big for him in the SEC too. I think if he goes back at some point, I think he will get another head coaching job at a Group of Five school, maybe works himself into a lower Power Five job, something like a lower Pac-12. Rutgers is off the table. Maryland, if something goes wrong there. But those are the sort of schools that I would see him coaching at again in the Power Five. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one of today's edition of the Eric Ainge Show. Filling in for Brian Rice, I'm Joel Silverberg alongside VFL quarterback Eric Ainge. Ben Hardy along with us as well from the Budweiser Studios of Cumulus Broadcasting. 656, if you want to join us on the Eric Ainge Show, FM 99.1, the sports animal.
Workday Payday is making listeners $1,000 richer four times a day. It's all about the money.
No way! That is awesome!
Oh, thank you. That is awesome.
We're making thousandaires.
I'm Nadia.
My name is Alan, and I'm $1,000 richer.
Just for listening to the radio.
Workday Payday has your money at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. Set your reminders and don't miss your chance to win on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Whatever, Ben. Don't tell me what to do. This is the Eric Ainge Show on the Sports Animal.
He really didn't tell you to do anything. His statement was actually more informative than commanding.
It was just the out time.
Burr, 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 burr. That's what I hear. It's like words, 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 words.
Have you ever? Are you picking up on that Phil Williams stuff?
Words, words, words.
Has he ever told you that?
Mm-mm.
Like if you say something like "Have a good day, Phil," he'll yell at you. Don't tell me what to do.
I do that all the time.
Yep, he's rubbing off on you.
Phil and I are very much. Two peas in a pod. Hey, real quick, I want to give a mention to the Lady Vol swim team. My buddy Carter wanted to make sure. He said, I know it's not football and basketball or baseball or softball or anything else, but it's UT. So I'm giving them the shout out. Lady Vol swim team is first place going into day three of the SEC championships. And Erica Brown, she's smart. She smells her spells her name with a K. Erica Brown broke the 100 American butterfly record, 100-meter American butterfly record. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Good job.
Been a good season for Tennessee swimming, without a doubt.
Lady Vol swimming. Don't tell me what to do, Ben.
A lot of fun things happening over at the Tennessee Aquatic Center this year. So Lady Vols continuing.
I used to have lots of fun over at the Aquatic Center.
Really?
I was a big high dive guy. So I wasn't good at the no splash, but I do like a bunch of backflips and gainers and all that kind of fun stuff.
So is that open to students when it's when the swim team's not using it?
Well, the indoor one, I don't think is. The outdoor one.
Oh, there's an outdoor aquatic center at UT?
Well, there's an outdoor pool.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I never knew that. It's got the high dive. Yeah, so it's got like the three level diving, the two diving boards, one high, one low, and then it's got the actual platform that you do the like diving off of outside.
So can students use the platform outside? Are they allowed to use it?
That's a question that I don't know that I'm qualified to answer because I was able to use it.
Oh, gotcha.
But I don't know
if that was privilege for the starting quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know if that was like, whatever.
So did you ever jump off the platform?
Yeah, all the time.
Was Fulmer okay with that?
Well, I don't know. His daughter, Brittany, that I went to college with was on the diving team.
Yeah, that doesn't really answer the question.
I mean, he was fine with his daughter doing it. Surely he'd have been.
Well, she
fine.
Was on the diving team. She was supposed to do it.
It's not like you're. It's not like you're landing in water. It's not like you're going snowboarding or something where you'd actually injure yourself. I'm an athlete. I'm not going to hurt myself on a diving board.
Oh gosh, Jets Pizza's here. They brought wings too. Nice. Jets Pizza is our sweet deal of the week, by the way. Really appreciate the partnership that we have with those guys. So they brought us some piping hot pizza and. Also brought us some wings, and this all smells really, really good.
It sure
brought us
does.
Our own pizza. What did you go with? Did you go with the pepperoni double dish? Double deep dish. I can't talk.
Wow. Look
that looks really good.
Yeah. We'll talk to these guys here coming up here in just a little bit. That does look exceptional. Jet's pizza is actually just as good cold as it is hot.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of like, what's the wing place? What's the spicy chicken, hot chicken place right here?
Gus's?
Come on, Eric. Yes, Gus's.
Okay.
Gus's fried chicken cold the next day it's weird, but it's just as good as it is hot.
See, I got to be honest with you. With both these restaurants, but especially Jet's Pizza, I don't know if it's ever lasted long enough around me to get cold.
That's fair.
It goes quickly with me and my friends. So Tennessee swimming, to recap, obviously in first place over at the SEC championships, and then recapping the first hour, Butch Jones no longer a analyst at Alabama, but is no longer, but is also not an on-field coach either.
And we don't know what his salary is, but thanks to our own Jimmy Hyams, he has made it to where... I am aware that Philip Fulmer is represented by Chad Speck of A3 Athletics, not Jimmy Sexton anymore. I didn't know that. I guess for the athletic director job, that's where Coach Fulmer's got Speck. And listen, Chad Speck is phenomenal. Awesome, awesome guy. So that's cool. But the real reason we brought up Sexton was because that's who represents both Butch Jones and Nick Saban. So...
And Jimmy Hyams
poked his head. It's not like Coach Fulmer and Jimmy Sexton aren't still great pals. I mean, they've been. Coach Fulmer was the first big time head coach that I think Sexton represented to the point of him. I mean, like you, that's kind of where his, you know, Reggie White was his roommate in college, and that's what sparked him getting into the industry. Coach Fulmer, I'm pretty sure, was his first, you know, real big quality national caliber, Hall of Fame caliber coach. So.
Jimmy Hyams poked his head in here and said, yeah, it feels like Jimmy Sexton seems to be representing 90% of college football coaches in the country. So, and that certainly seems to be the case. Pretty interesting stuff there, but certainly appreciate his help. So again, Butch Jones, no longer the offensive analyst over at Alabama, staying on staff as a special assistant to the head coach, meaning he is still not an on-field coach, has not taken a job anywhere else. Nick Saban kind of mentioning that he had opportunities to go elsewhere, elected to stay in Tuscaloosa, and that's kind of where it's at right now. So Tennessee is still paying his buyout, which over $200,000 a month. Tennessee's more than halfway through that buyout, which was just over $8 million. And at this point, it's kind of just a matter of waiting for that to conclude.
It's not worth the PR nightmare to do it now, bottom line. Let him be the special assistant to Nick Saban. Let him be the coffee guy or the little Debbie's getter. Quick, I need another cream pie.
Kind of like how Derek Dooley was the towel boy for Dez Bryant when he was with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I was Brett Favre's dip spit cup holder, you know. We've all been there.
Now we got the cinnamon bites in here too, just with from Jet's Pizza. Tom just keeps bringing us food.
That's exciting.
I think he realizes how this process works. But we certainly appreciate it. 656-9900. We'll come back. Hour number two of the Eric Ainge Show is next with Eric Ainge. I'm Joel Silverberg. This is the Eric Ainge Show on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.